You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
What a day. But will it work? Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. What's up, my friends? Yes, let's roll. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Get on board as we talk all about the New York Mets. We will also discuss whether or not it will work. We will also discuss if anybody has seen Brian Cashman as we send out an APP for the Yankees general manager, president of operations, whatever the hell he is. He hasn't shown up so far. And we get to Kemba Walker because it might be the last time that we're going to be talking about him for quite some time. It's all on the table for you at 800-919-3776 on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin. By all means, chime in there, my friends. And, of course, on Instagram and TikTok, that guy Carlin. So, what a few days for the New York Mets. Mark Canha, Starling Marte, Eduardo Escobar, and now the big fish, Max Scherzer. And this is such the Yankee move, not just from throwing around the money from yesteryear, but from offering so much money that you make it virtually impossible for someone to turn it down. Because don't you have the sense that's what was going on over the last 24 hours? That every time they were in a position where they might lose Max Scherzer to go back to the West Coast, Steve Cohen added a few more million dollars. Well, my friends, that's what the money is for. That's what it's for. And I know a lot of you feel like I can be Mr. Negative at times. There is nothing to be negative about right here with Max Scherzer. I have been a big fan of his for a long, long time. And there are very few pitchers around baseball that I would rather have on the mound than Max Scherzer in a big game. And I understand that he has had some games where he hasn't been at his best in some big spots. He's still a guy that is going to pitch at an exceptionally high level all season long when he's healthy. And when he's not healthy, it's not like he's gone for three quarters of the year. He may miss a couple of starts here and there, but he is not going to kill you with missing a ton of time. He's just not. Look at what he's done. He has been Mr. Durable for so long, and even this season when he got a little banged up, what did he miss, three starts? He went to the Dodgers, and he was fantastic. Guy had an ERA of 2.46. His best ERA collectively in his career this past season at age 37. Couldn't be more excited about this. And frankly, if you want to look for negatives, please keep looking. Then you can't be somebody that has joy. I get accused of that quite a bit. You're just not capable of joy. Oh, I'm capable. And not even being a Met fan, this is what is good for baseball. And I know that all of the stodgy owners around the game today are probably complaining about Steve Cohen. You may not like Steve Cohen. You need Steve Cohen. You need him. He is going to be great for baseball. Why? Because he's going to be a hated figure in the game, and he's going to bring relevance to a second New York baseball team that hasn't been relevant in entirely too long. Yes, they were in the World Series 6 years ago. That's fine. It's not like it's been a steady run of postseason appearances. That was just law of averages catching up. Right now, you have someone that has injected energy into this. And while we can point to all the tweeting as being a deterrent for guys, while we can to run this organization, while we can point to whatever you want about the negative aspects of Cohen aside, and I'm not talking about whatever's going on at point 72, okay? Strictly as an owner, This is what they needed. This is what they needed. And he's finally able to flex the muscle. Has anybody ever doubted that he didn't want to do what was best for the team? No. You had a bunch of executives that really didn't want to come and play for an owner who actually was going to be involved and wants to know what's going on and wants to be held, wants to hold people accountable. Now, is he going to scream and yell at Billy Epler every day? I don't think so. I don't think so. What all those guys missed out on, anybody who turned it down, was the fact that he was going to be able to do this. And his money is going to make you look good. You didn't want to take his money. That's on you, bro. Listen, people can be difficult to work for when you're guys who are that successful. But they can also make it worth your while. And for all of those guys who turned it down, whatever the reason, right now, today is the day that you probably feel pretty stupid for it. And you may point to it, you know, 6 months from now, if it doesn't work, and if there's all entirely too much drama around the team, and you could say, well, look, I made the right decision. GMs aren't out there every day anyway. They're not. So my first point to those guys is, I think you screwed up. Secondly, I look at what this team is now going to be about, and it's going to be about competition. It's going to be about giving people what they deserve. The Met fans have deserved this for entirely too long. We can discuss whether or not it's going to work. Maybe it blows up in their faces. Here's what you know. If this guy can sell you and can put the right people in place for a good culture, this is not the NBA. You are going to be able to lure some guys strictly with money. But if you can take these guys and now build something to win in the short term and to build a positive atmosphere around the organization and work from here after he had his first year and he learned some things the hard way, well, it's going to go a long way to helping them be successful. It's going to go a long way, not just overpaying guys to come to a bad spot, but also make guys a little bit more interested to come here than maybe they would have been before. Because don't sell this short, all right? When you're somebody like Max Scherzer, and you're as respected in the game as you are, and guys know that he was going to get a ridiculous amount of money somewhere anyway. If the Mets are willing, let's just say Max Scherzer was going to get $38 million somewhere else for 2 years apiece, as opposed to $130 for three with an opt-out after two. Give him what he wants to get him to come here, and then let him be part of not just the on-field solution, but the off-field solution. That guy sets a tone. That guy does everything you need to create that culture. It's all good, man. You have to feel good about all of it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Are the Mets now World Series contenders? We'll get into whether or not it's going to work and the reasons as to why it may not in just a little while. Right now, it's about feeling better about what's going on. Eli in Washingtonville is up first tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Eli, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Listen, man, did Andy just say that the Yankee fans should learn how to trust Brian Cashman?
He did. Well, it's based off of
that about?
You know, their history of being competitive and being in the postseason.
Yeah, man, that's it. And not striving for anything better. But, yeah, listen, so the Mets flog it to the Yankee point. Listen, I think Cohen just showed that right now he's the top money dog in New York when it comes to baseball, because He just flexed his muscles here, and even though Scherzer and you know their top two pitchers and Syndergaard, they're injury prone. And
Scherzer's
not
injury
prone. Couldn't make his.
Scherzer is not.
He couldn't make his last start. Well, he couldn't make his last. Well, his age.
He still made 30 starts this past season. You know.
Right. But let's hope that they stay healthy, and then the Mets will be going somewhere. Now, it's a Yankee point. Listen, I think Brian Cashman is standing idly by, waiting for this lockout to happen. When a person that he should have went with was Marte. Like, Marte would have been a great replacement for Hicks. And it just shows that the Yankees, Don LeGreca said it best in the Michael Kay show, that the Yankees are the model that is getting old and refuse to get plastic surgery, thinking that, you know, they're still a beautiful team.
I think there's a much larger problem with the Yankees, Eli, and thanks for the call. I think there's a much larger problem. There's actually two problems with the Yankees, but we're going to get into those in just a few minutes. 800-919-3776. Lines are open. Here's Mike in Jersey next on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what's going on?
How you doing? I think they overpaid for Scherzer. He's 37, 38 years old. His arm was dead in the playoffs. I think you guys are in trouble. Orioles fan, so I've seen this one before.
You're a who?
An Orioles fan.
Orioles fan. Okay.
I'm used to the losing. So, but I'm like, why'd you give him $130 million?
Because that's what it was going to take to get him to come here. And you needed.
You need that credibility here. Why don't you spend it on other players?
Like who? They just did spend it on like three other players. They just got Starling Marte. They just got Eduardo Escobar, who basically has driven in 90 and 120 runs in his last two full seasons.
Yeah,
and
but
Marquina.
Those were good signings. Scherzer is not a good signing. He's gonna have a tired arm by July and be done.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time Scherzer missed a lot of time in the season? The answer is he hasn't. And you're right. He's older. There's no question. But he still pitched to a 2.46 ERA all season long. He might have had a dead arm in the postseason. That happens to other guys. It doesn't just happen to Max Scherzer. This is somebody that has made the starts in his career, and it's not just about the fact that they needed to get an ace in addition to DeGrom, because you don't know what's going on with DeGrom this coming year. It's also about the fact that the Mets need credibility. A large part of what they're paying for here is credibility. You need to show other guys that this is going to be a good place to be. Max Scherzer gives you credibility. He is well respected around the game, not just for his production, but the way he goes about his business. And if he helps you establish the culture here, it was more than worth it. And as far as overpaying for guys, their payroll right now is somewhere around $260 million. And they're probably not done. They don't have players to trade. They've got money. That's what the money is for. 800-919-3776. Steve in the Bronx is next on 98.7 ESPN. Stevie, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually a first-time caller. All right. So I want to talk Yankees a little bit. I just want to kind of just, you know, set some expectations here for us Yankee fans. And I'm a season ticket holder and all that, but at the same time, it's like we have to just move away from that George the Boss era. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, but we have to step away from it. I'm not surprised we didn't sign Seager. I'm not surprised we haven't signed any big-name free agents yet. You know, we have to consider, unfortunately, the luxury tax, our threshold. You know, can we really afford another $30 million 10-year contract, $30 million per year 10-year contract? I don't think we can. I mean, you look at who we have committed money to right now, and we have at least, $60, $70 million committed in, two players, and then we have another $40 million committed to three or four players that have been vastly underperforming for the last couple seasons, and it's more than anything, I definitely don't want Brian Cashman handing out another big year or big money contract, because more often than not, it just tends to not pan out.
What do you want them to do?
That's the very big – to be honest with you, I feel like it sucks, but we're going to have to put ourselves in a position where we're going to have to fiddle with ourselves until we can figure out, whether one of the kids we have in the minor leagues for shortstop is going to work out. So what does that mean? Do we have to go for Simmons? Do we, trade for another shortstop? Kalefa is available now from Texas. Maybe we consider him. I don't know. I mean, there's no true answer that's going to solve all of the holes. The Hicks contract is the one that I feel burns me the most. I think that is something that's just unfortunate. I wish we could move him. Maybe we can. But not one person right now moves the needle for me. So we unfortunately are going to have to live in mediocrity for the next few years.
Yeah, Steve, that doesn't work. Thanks for the call. That doesn't work. Not when you charge what you charge to come to the games. And this is part of the larger problem right now. What we are actually seeing is a reversal of fortunes when it comes to finances. Now, the Yankees aren't being cheap. Don't get me wrong. That would be an absurd statement to make. The problem is, they're not willing to go to where they need to go to right now. So why is that?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
On the Yankees front, the real issue here is not getting involved on Scherzer, not getting involved on those guys, but the fact that they have been so quiet and all we hear about is Andrelton Simmons. There's two problems at work here. Number one, Hal Steinbrenner is going to worry about the bottom line first and foremost, and what the Yankees are making and what they're not. And we can talk all you want about the money that they do spend, because they do. They are not cheap, and I expect them to go over the threshold as they waited this past year to try to reset it so they would only go over and have to pay a 20% tax in theory. The fact that they have not been as aggressive to get things done right now tells me that those two contracts, the Gerrit Cole contract and the Giancarlo Stanton contract, are holding up the Yankees from doing other things, and that just can't be the case. It can't be the case. They brought back guys on manageable deals. The fact that they were getting DJ LeMahieu back on $15 million a year, granted it was for 6 years, that's supposed to be very manageable. Remember the Aaron Hicks contract and why they gave him the money that they did? They said 7 years, $70 million. You watch. It, down the line, this will be a very tradable contract. Really? Because I don't see that right now. Not when he can't stay on the field and we're making a big deal about him going deep in winter ball. The Yankees are concerned with finances and making money. They are. And that's okay. That's okay. But the problem is, when you charge what you charge, you do owe it to your fans to go out and do what it takes to win. And they have shown that before. We're only halfway through this. But does anybody have the impression that the Mark Teixeira-like signing that no one expected is coming out of nowhere tomorrow? Does anybody think that's happening? No, they don't. And part of the reason is problem number two. I really think Brian Cashman has gotten to this point where there's almost an arrogance level to what he's doing. I'm going to show that I'm the one who knows exactly what this team needs and what we're going to do, and the moves that I make are going to be the ones that are going to put us over the top. And it's going to be because these are my decisions, not just because we have to go out and spend an absolute fortune. I've gotten to do that for so long. Now I'm going to show you how smart of a baseball guy I am. You're not the Rays, bro. It's okay. It's all right. You've been an excellent GM during your career. You haven't been very good when it comes to pitching, but hey, you kept the Yankees on top, and that was your job for a long time. You just haven't done it in the last 10 years because you decided to change how you should be graded and that it was no longer about championships. It's about being very, very good, winning 90-some games and getting to the postseason, and then we'll see what happens. That eliminates a level of urgency. It does. Whether or not you want to admit it, it does. So now the need to show us that you're the smartest guy in the room is ultimately what should do you in. But I don't think it will. I don't expect Brian Cashman to get cut loose anytime soon. In fact, I would expect a contract extension sooner rather than later for the fifth Steinbrenner. Because Hal's part of the problem and Brian's part of the problem. We get it, okay? We get it. You took a hit in 2020. So did every other team in baseball. Every other team in baseball. You're not going out of business. And if you sold the team tomorrow, like Michael said earlier, if the Yankees sold the team tomorrow, you'd get $5 billion for them. And it'd be a bargain. 800-919-3776. Neil is in Providence, Rhode Island. Up next, 98.7 ESPN. Neil, what do you got tonight, bud?
Hi, how you doing, Chris? No, it's really Neil from New Providence, New Jersey. But that's
New Providence, New Jersey. I know it well. How are you, bud?
Okay, long-time listener, Chris. Listened to you on the other station and now, and I think you're a great radio personality with a lot of intelligence and a lot of passion, and I
appreciate
thank you for that
very much.
Just wanted to know your opinion, Chris, on what you think the Mets' plan for pitchers in their rotation number 3, 4, and 5 would be, based on Stroman. I hear a lot of negative stuff about Stroman, and what do you think the chances of getting Baez would be?
I don't think Stroman's coming back at this point. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. I don't think Stroman's coming back. I think 1, 2, 3 right now, you're in pretty good shape with DeGrom, Scherzer, and Taijuan Walker. My guess is they're going to be counting on Carrasco to come back and be closer to what he had been in the past. And then 5, you'll have guys battling it out for that. I don't think you're going to see Stroman back. It does not appear that they want to deal with his personality anymore. I understand that. If they had missed out on Scherzer and then they decided to pass on Stroman, in my estimation, that would have been a mistake. But now that you got Scherzer, I'm sorry, Marcus be damned at that point. You know, he's a very good pitcher, and if they brought him back, I would not complain in the least. But I think the way the rest of the rotation is going to play out is Walker's going to be 3, and then you hope for Carrasco at 4, and we'll see beyond that. Nick in Queens is on 98.7 ESPN. Nick, what's up tonight, baby?
How you doing, Chris? Thank you for taking me. I just want to ask you a question. Martino didn't say anything about Baez. Is he staying with the Mets, or what do you think?
At this point, I don't think so, because I don't think they're going to give Baez that kind of money now, because look at what they just did in the other moves. Escobar is going to play 3rd. You've got Marte and Cana in the outfield with Brandon Nimmo, who I don't think is going to get traded. And so that leaves you with, all right, the DH, probably Dom Smith, probably some sort of a platoon. And you have Jeff McNeil right now, and you're dealing with Robinson Cano coming back. I don't think they have the money to give to him right now, where maybe they did in the offseason. Frankly, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that Baez doesn't come back. I don't know that Baez and Lindor together was a good thing. That, to me, is where there could have been a problem for the Mets. Because whether it's Lindor having a bad influence on Baez or Baez having a bad influence on Lindor, nothing positive, I feel like, was coming from that relationship and those two buddies hanging out here, from all indications you get. 800-919-3776. Matt, New Jersey, next. 98.7 ESPN. Matthew, what's going on tonight?
How's it going, Chris? tough after this Rutgers loss this week, and I was hoping to get another month out of the season. But
yeah, I know. That was tough. I think part of it was running out of gas a little bit. And look, the other day, handed to Talia Tungavailoa, that kid's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he stayed at Alabama, you'd see him as the starter there probably next season.
Well,
About the Yankees, this has been bothering me now going on a few years, because every year we hear, well, we got to get this guy off payroll, and then we're really in on this guy. And it started with they were going to be in on Machado and Harper, and then they did nothing. And then it was, we're going to be in on Arenado. That's why we weren't in on Machado. And then they didn't go get him. But this has been going on for years, and they keep going at these guys on the scrap heap. And the fact of the matter is this.
Yankees, be fair, let's point out, they did go and get Cole.
Okay, fine. But that was because I think Cashman needed to fulfill that ego, because that was his white whale. He's the one that got away. Uh-huh. And they weren't overspending on anyone else not named Cole, regardless of how good they were that year.
I think that's fair.
The Yankees make between $700 and $900 million a year. If this was Major League, or if this was the NFL, if this was the NBA, they would be mandated to spend $350 million on payroll. And I'm not saying they need to do that, but they're trying to get away with spending 25% of revenue on payroll. And I get it. They spend a lot. $210 million is a lot of money. But you can't cry poverty when you're spending 25% of your revenue on payroll and every other team is paying 50 to 60. They're lining their pockets.
I don't think they're crying poverty, and thanks for the call. I think they're much more focused on what the bottom line is now than they used to be. And I'm not asking them to go back to the Steinbrenner, to that George days. I'm asking them to give the fans what they deserve. And that's a winning team. And what you have right now is not that.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Gary Sanchez has to be tendered a contract tomorrow night by 8 p.m. In other words, if the Yankees don't offer him a contract for 2022, he's gone. He's a free agent. And they will have gotten nothing for him in return. And just reading a story in the Post right now that the front office is very split on what to do with him, because, you know, he still shows those flashes of being a potentially great offensive player. And, you know, he gets a little bit better at catching all the time. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Those flashes are just that. They're flashes. And after a while, when they don't become consistently present, you can't continue to beat your head against a rock when it comes to the player. It's going to suck, though, if they non-tender him, because you think about the fact that they had the opportunity a few years ago to make a few trades that would have involved the Yankees getting better by moving Sanchez, and they just wanted nothing to do with it, including JT Realmuto. 800-919-3776. In case you missed it today, Tom Thibodeau announced that Kemba Walker is not only no longer in the starting lineup for the Knicks, he is no longer in the rotation. Here's the Knicks coach.
Well, I want to tighten up the rotation. I like the way the team functions, so it'll be similar to what we did in the Atlanta game.
So Kemba's out of
rotation? As of right now, yes.
Did you talk to him about that? How do you think that is?
Yeah. You know, it's part of it. You know, it's a tough decision to make, but you always have to do what you think is best for the team. I view Kemba as a starter, and so it'd be tough to, you know, play three small guards together. You know, I gave it consideration, and I've got great respect for who Kemba is as a person, number one, and all that he's accomplished in this league. So, you know, but I have to do what I think is best for the team.
That is rough. That is rough when you just brought Kemba in this past offseason. But what does it tell you? It tells you that Tom Thibodeau is not here to just develop for the long term. Not that Kemba's going to be that, but he's not willing to sacrifice losing now if it means keeping a guy on the floor that you brought in this offseason. It's not about any of that noise. Now, great job by my guys, Brian Munguia and Ty Butler today, because they sent me a tweet from Fred Katz from The Athletic, which I would have missed. Bad job by me. A statistical summary of why the Knicks are pulling Kemba Walker from the rotation. The Knicks have the best defense in the league when Kemba is on the bench and are dead last when he is on the floor. They are 27th in offense with him playing, 9th with him on the bench offensively. How about that? I mean, you talk about one guy making a ridiculously negative impact on a team on the floor. It's hard to accomplish what Kemba has accomplished. And frankly, I was wrong on this one. I thought bringing him in was going to be a very good thing. And it has been just a mess. And I give Thibodeau credit because, you know, I don't know that he wanted to bring him in. I don't know who wanted to, but it doesn't give you the feeling. He doesn't strike you as that kind of player that Thibodeau would have fought hard to bring in here. But think about the fact that Alec Burks right now is going to be your starter. Now, he did a great job the other night in Atlanta. He obviously did a pretty good job against Atlanta last year in the playoffs. And you gave him $30 million to bring him back, so you obviously had to feel pretty good about him. But Alec Burks is now in the starting lineup and in the rotation, and Kemba Walker is not even coming off the bench. He's out of the rotation altogether. Wow. Here's Thibodeau on Alec Burks in the starting lineup moving forward.
Yeah, no, we're going to make a change. Alec's going to be the starter. So I like the way that we played like that.
What went behind that decision?
Yeah, I just don't like the way we've been trending, the inconsistency of our team, and we're going to try to make a change. I want to get bigger. I want our defense to be more intact. So basically that was it. We got to do something different.
Yeah. And look, when you see what happened the other night, it gives you a true sense about where they feel like their best opportunities to win are. And frankly, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. He didn't last a month into the season. Not a month. Wow. 800-919-3776, my friend. So here's the deal. He's been waiting 45 minutes for me to bring this up. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Chris. Chris, I had hip replacement surgery on Friday.
How you doing?
And it was great. I was out of the hospital, HSS, Dr. Gregory DeFelice, fantastic surgeon.
Were you
I was out on Saturday.
Day?
Yes, I had it on Friday. It was out on Saturday. Walking okay. Right away, without a cane, without a walker.
No pain. How much pain are you in?
None. Zero. No painkillers, nothing. No anticoagulants, no anticonvulsants, nothing.
You didn't have any pain with a full hip replacement.
And he did it the posterior approach, which is a little more invasive. He cut away more fantastic. He did my other one 5 years ago, Dr. DeFelice, the greatest.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. You didn't even have pain on Saturday, really?
Not at all. I had pain, not pain, uncomfortable to go to sleep. You can't straighten your leg out in bed. Very difficult.
Okay.
So that was tough. But last night I slept well, and today I'm fine. I was at the office the next day on Saturday. I was fine.
Wow. Yeah. God bless you, Richard. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I did, Chris? I was at the I was watching, you know, you're a captive audience, and I'm also watching a lot of sports, but I'm working. I'm making sure I'm working, so I'm walking around my room, which they're not crazy about doing it because they're afraid of liability, but I forced myself. I did it, and I made sure I walked around the room, I watched Ranger game when I woke up out of the recovery room. I watched the North Carolina State football game, the Dayton, Kansas basketball game, and the Peace State Resistance was the Gonzaga-Duke game. So I watched four great games on Friday while I was at the hospital, which I would never do on a Friday in, with regular time. Chris, as far as yours are quickly, you know, the Yankees overpaid for Catfish Hunter in 75. He only had one great year for them. After that, his second year, he was sort of mediocre. And after that, he didn't produce anything. He got hurt. But he was the start of the whole ball going. He gave them credibility. Up until 75, they had no credibility. So he was the guy that got it started. That's all Scherzer has to do. 1 year, maybe 2 years if he gives us, it's still a great thing. And as far as Kemba, that's a great move. What can you do if he can't play defense? You can't play. It's good to see in the NBA that defense still counts. And Thibodeau is a defensive. You know what I think you're surprised at more than anything is because a defensive, he's not playing because of defense. I don't think you've ever heard that in NBA basketball in the last 10 years. You know,
that's you probably haven't. But if you're at Kemba at his point in his career, you better be a dynamic offensive player.
A great offensive player, which he's not. Yeah. He's not no longer. He was never a superstar. I heard the radio station referring to him as a superstar.
I thought earlier in his career, and thanks to the call, if he wasn't one, he was pretty darn close. I really think he was very, very close to it. I mean, he's not, you know, Giannis or anybody like that. Don't get me wrong. But he was on the borderline between star and superstar when he was at his best.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.